Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Is Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. You all know who I am. Let's welcome back the Brooklyn, New York's finest, ladies and gentlemen, Mark freaking Braverman. And we're going to do a little similar but different approach. We're going to talk about a moment in pro wrestling, the finish of the 1998 Survivor Series. So, Mark, are you ready to hit the time machine?
Why not? That's the time that I was watching.
I know that we do this thing where I talk about the best and worst matches, but you know what? I think what's better than that is to go through back in time about moments that made an impact in professional wrestling. Some for good, some for bad, but I honestly believe that the finish of the 98 Survivor Series final, that's what really put the Attitude Era into high gear.
Okay. I don't think that's what really put the Attitude Era into high gear, because we had the Attitude Era long before this pay-per-view. In my opinion, the Attitude Era started. For me, the Attitude Era started at King of the Ring 96, when Austin did the whole promo for Austin 316, says I just blah, blah, blah. That, to me, is when the Attitude Era really, really started. And then we had the whole heel Mr. McMahon thing. But this pay-per-view, with the ending, although nobody was happy about it, obviously, and it wasn't that great of a show anyway, honestly, but what this pay-per-view did was push The Rock to the point of where he became a megastar. He really did.
Yeah.
Because before this, The Rock was getting Rocky Maivia, die, Rocky, die. Then they change him to The Rock, and then the whole Nation thing, and then this pay-per-view happens. What this did for Rock's heel, for Rock, was make him the best heel in the company, and probably at that time, the best heel in the entire wrestling world. It really did. That's what this pay-per-view did for him. It got him to the hype that he is now. So, the ending? Horrible, obviously, and the ending did look a little familiar, did it not, my friend?
It did, and while the ending is horrible, it actually is good because, like you said, it started a mega heel turn for The Rock. And yep. What I mean by kicking the high gear, now keep in mind, Stone Cold and Mr. McMahon had been feuding for almost a year at that point, and because it was working so well, they said, well, we got to make it even better now. We got to add The Rock into the mix. We got to start this stable known as the Corporation. They were taking it one step at a time, and they knew that things were working, so now's the time to take things to the next level. And I think you're right. Some would say the Attitude Era started with an infamous Austin 316 promo. Some would say it was when a year prior with the screw job, you know. Those are so much, and of course, so in that year, that's when Kane emerged on the scene. Stone Cold was obviously the top guy as the babyface, and because during that time, Triple H was a babyface, not a heel. Like, you think about it, there wasn't really that top heel at the time. I mean, Mankind was a heel up until that match. You know, I never spoke to Ricky about this, but it wouldn't surprise me if he told me that even back then, he knew that this was coming. I mean, I don't know. Ricky just has a certain unique view when it comes to wrestling. Sometimes he senses it. I mean, that's just the gift of God that he has.
I don't think anybody saw The Rock's turn coming, but they did need that over-the-top, excuse the term, Jack, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
That hat. That hat
maybe more like.
Jackass. That had to counter Austin because Austin at the time was so white hot that if you were not watching WWF programming, you were over there watching WCW, there was something wrong with you. Okay? Because by the time we got to November 1998, WCW pretty much already shot themselves in the foot. They really did.
Yeah.
With horrible storylines, with Sting and Lou going over to the NWO, which was just stupid. And the adults, then the screw job came later on. WCW at this time was pretty much, they were still relevant, but not as relevant. McMahon to win the war needed somebody that can handle being a heel. Needed somebody so over the top that whenever he came out, that son of a you-know-what. That person became The Rock. Mm-hmm. Then later on, when DX broke up at WrestleMania 15, then you had Triple H beginning his heel run. So you had three wrestlers at the time, white hot, white hot, white hot, two heel, one face, and then you had Vince McMahon. This show culminated everything that we're talking about now.
Yeah, because as I said, the feud with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mr. McMahon had been taking place for a while.
Yep.
That particular WrestleMania, that's when Stone Cold became WWF champion for the first time. And I'll never forget, in that first blood match, he dropped the belt to Kane, regained it the next day.
Also a very good pay-per-view.
You know, of course, during that time when Kane was emerging on the scene, I mean, Kane, the character, was just something so cool. Now, Rock had – what people need to keep in mind, this was not The Rock's first heel turn. It was his second, actually.
It was his second,
he had been the heel leader of the Nation. But I would say this was his first heel turn that made him an even better heel than he was before.
It was his first
because
solo.
Bill didn't do it. He was a brief face, and he told Vince McMahon, I'm not going to kiss your butt, all this, all that. And then all of a sudden, when it finally happened, you know – they swerved us all, but that's what you have to do. You have to make the audience piss you off and hate you so much because they're going to pay money just to see you get your butt kicked. That's what raises ticket sales. That's
Absolutely.
What puts asses in the seats.
It makes you want to watch on Monday night instead of the NFL, the NBA, whatever, the NHL, whatever the hell is going on. And particularly
Absolutely.
And particularly in the winter when you have football, hockey, basketball are all very popular. They're all going on right now at the time. You've got to make people watch, and that's what they did. The Raw before this pay-per-view is what we got to talk about for a few seconds. The Raw of this pay-per-view ended with Rock and McMahon in the ring, and they had an argument. And how did The Rock end it? People's elbow on Vince McMahon. Place goes nuts. Okay. Everybody thinks it's The Rock. Everybody thinks The Rock has fully turned face. No. We swerved them. And you have to remember also the whole thing with Shane McMahon being the lonely referee, if you remember that far back.
Because he hired Stone Cold. Because remember, Stone Cold was fired via storyline. I'll never forget how Vince said, Stone Cold, screw you, you're fired.
Right, and then he got rehired, and then Shane McMahon became a full-blown face. We had the whole, you're a lonely referee, thanks to Vince McMahon. And the whole thing came together beautifully at the Survivor Series. Because in the third round, Austin gets eliminated because the referee got knocked out. Here comes Shane, 1, 2, leaves the ring, double bird. Okay, Shane goes heel. Wait a minute. We get to the main event. It's The Rock and Mankind. The Rock is still technically face. They go into the sharpshooter, ring the bell. Looks a little familiar from a year ago. Bingo. We have our heel turn. Rock is now heel. The moment if you are a wrestling fan, was beautiful. If you understand how wrestling works, like you and I do, how the business works. If you were just a regular fan watching this, you were going, I want my money back. But this is, like you said, you have to do this in wrestling to keep the ideas fresh and keep the ideas going. And that's what Vince does better than any company in the world. They really do.
And what set up the tournament was that, remember, Mr. McMahon, not Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon, two different people. Mr. McMahon and Stone Cold on that feud. Mr. McMahon, I remember that promo when he said, I'm damn sick and tired of seeing you walk around with that title. So Mr. McMahon was going to do anything to take the title away, which happened when Stone Cold was pinned simultaneously by Kane and The Undertaker from that. So that's how the tournament happened. And then, but during that time, Mankind was a heel, and Mankind was still feuding with The Undertaker. So Mankind was actually Mr. McMahon's top heel.
Yes.
But that had to change because I think Mankind was getting some positive reactions. So they said, well, he's not getting over as a heel. So he's getting over as a face. We have to make him face.
Well, they made a mistake with Mankind when he was heel. They gave that 3 or 4 part interview with Jim Ross with him talking about his life and talking about how wrestling saved him and jumping off his house in Long Island, big ups to New York. All the things that he did in that interview, when the fans were watching, they were so into it that, wait a minute, this guy can actually go. He can wrestle. I have a dark past, or I like the darkness, or whatever the hell, whatever you're into. I'm an outcast, like me, like you, like Ricky. We're not in the popular club, thank God. Okay? That's when Mankind started speaking to people. So on a car ride, it was Mankind and it was Bob Holly in the car. And Bob Holly said to Mankind, they're going to turn your face, you know that. And Mankind goes, no, I'll never ever be a face. Well, obviously he was, because it worked.
Because it worked.
Wrestlers at times get so bad, get so evil, you have to learn to love them. Triple H, perfect example. Mankind, perfect example. Sasha and Bayley at one point were heels. What happened to them? Now they're more loved than ever. Perfect example of what, if you're an outstanding heel, you're going to eventually have to turn face because the crowd loves you.
Exactly. I'll never forget, I think there was that segment when Mick Foley came to the ring wearing a suit, had his hair pulled back in a ponytail, was even wearing glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Was that officially when he turned heel and kind of joined forces with Mr. McMahon, or was that just part of the build-up?
It was part of the build-up, but he was already kind of sort of heel.
Oh, yeah, I think that was the end of Dude Love. That's when he stopped the Dude Love persona.
Yes. Well, Dude Love persona, yeah. By, as far as I'm concerned, was his worst.
The Mankind persona is obviously the best. I mean, during that build-up as well, Mr. Socko, we were introduced to Mr. Socko, which people don't realize, Mr. Socko was supposed to be a one-night thing, and look how iconic it turned out. I have my very own, actually, Mr. Socko, because I bought the Cactus Jack Mankind lunchbox, and it came with a pair of socks. With the Mr. Socko, which I'm very grateful for, but back then, how the WWF just built and built and built and built and built, and when the time was right, we got the best thing. I wish pro wrestling was like that today. I mean, WWE just is not what it was back then, but building and building and building storylines, that's what it is.
First of all, you're talking about apples and oranges. You can't compare
that time. Well, let me ask you something. We're going to talk about how the match goes, but Okay, so the match happens. The match between Mankind and The Rock was solid. Now,
it was okay. It wasn't great.
This sounds so petty and so silly. I think Mankind should be put in the sharpshooter, but I would say in the middle of the ring, not closer to the ropes. But I'm not sure what difference would have made. That's just my two cents, really.
The fact that they used the thing with the sharpshooter was done on purpose. That was a slam on Bret Hart. That was a big F you to Bret Hart. That's what they did the same thing twice. That's why that happened. The second thing was, like we said, somebody had to go heel to match Stability of Austin. Mankind, although they had two phenomenal matches, Mankind, like we said, was getting over. We needed that heel. Triple H was not ready yet, so we went with The Rock, who was a little bit more ready, because Triple H spent a whole lot of almost a year and a half as a face. So The Rock was the better pick, obviously.
I think Triple H was still recovering from an injury from the 98 SummerSlam.
Yes, he was, because he got badly injured in the ladder match. No surprise there. By the way, phenomenal match.
Yeah.
By the way, back to your point about the Mississauga thing. McMahon will kill me for saying this, but they stole that from ECW. Okay. The head thing came first. Most people don't remember this. Head and Al Snow came first before Mr. Sacco. They stole that from ECW. The head was supposed to be a one-time deal. One time. But it got so over that Paul Heyman ran with it. 3 or 4 months later, we got the sock treatment. So, some shout out. You got to show ECW a little love in this one. So
definitely. I mean, hey, gotta show the love to Paul Heyman.
Absolutely. I hate his character now, but back then it was incredible. But
yeah, the Steven Spielberg like. I mean, really, a big Steven Spielberg like mentality that he had. I got that from Sandman. That's how Sandman described him in Dark Side of the Ring.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The match itself we're talking about right now wasn't that great of a match. If you want to see a really good match between Mankind and The Rock, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, their last man standing match, was amazing.
The I Quit match too, bro.
No, the I Quit match was awful. Don't even bother with that one.
I actually think it's one of the best matches ever.
I disagree, because Roman just went too damn far. And even Vince had apologized for The Rock, Vince, and Mankind all admitted it went too far. So, but the Super Bowl match was a good one too.
The empty arena, yeah.
Yes, they've had...
the forklift.
They've had so many great matches with each other that it's hard to say that they had a bad one. But their first one, Survivor Series 98, I'm sorry, I didn't like this one at all. I didn't like this match at all, honestly. I thought, this is the final? But, you know, it happens, but... The point is, the ending of the match itself was a reminder that we still have the Mr. McMahon character, number one. Number two, to make Mankind switch from heel to face. And number three, a big, excuse the term, F you to Bret Hart. Because that's what happened. That's what the ending of the match pretty much was.
As Mr. McMahon said, Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart. And he can look in the mirror and know that. But I feel at the same time, it wasn't just Mr. McMahon saying that. It was Vince McMahon really saying that, too.
I kind of disagree. But that's a different argument altogether. But
yeah.
we'll do another show on that later on.
But the match between Stone Cold and Mankind, when Shane McMahon, like you said, Shane McMahon all of a sudden, because the original referee was... Well, pulled out by Vince, and I think Big Boss Man hit the ref with his nightstick. Yeah. I think that's how it was. But So Shane comes in, counts one, two, and then stops, gives the double bird,
yep,
Stone Cold, and then I'm not sure how the match ended. Didn't the match end up with Stone Cold being disqualified or counted out?
He was disqualified.
Okay. So, well, so that was the first swerve, but that didn't really seem to piss people off as much as the final did. But,
I think once you got to the point of where Shane turned on Austin, you knew something stupid was going to happen in the main event. Mm-hmm. You knew something was going to go wrong in the main event. The problem was everybody thought that Rock was gonna get screwed over and Mankind was gonna go out with the title. But Vince is such a mastermind of screwing with people's psyche that it was a complete that it was actually a complete 180. So
that's what's good about pro wrestling. It's about being caught off guard.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta ask you, Mark, how did you react to the finish?
I was pissed. I was as a fan, I was not happy with it. As a fan, I'm like, well, I don't think The Rock can hold. I didn't think at the time The Rock could hold the title. So I'm thinking, this is garbage. I was very upset about it. I just didn't feel comfortable with it. But back then, I was much different. Today, when I rewatch it, the answer is, this was a pretty good swerve. This was a good ending, because The Rock at the time, because Austin won the title because he had already. Taker wasn't even close. Taker was busy off doing something else. He was leaving anyway. Kane was too young in the company. No Shawn. Triple H wasn't ready to be a heel. They needed somebody young, good-looking, talented to take the belt. And the answer was The Rock.
Yeah.
So rewatching it now, great, great idea. Back then, didn't like, hated it.
It's because we weren't the same wrestling fans that we were. I mean, look, I don't want to make you feel old, Mark, but I was 5 years old when this happened. This was actually the very, very first pro wrestling. This was my first time watching pro wrestling because I was at a friend of my parents' house and their son loved pro wrestling and with the money he made from his allowance, he would pay for the pay-per-view with his brother because they both loved it. And, you know, they said, well, come watch, you should watch this with us, Alex. And of course, I didn't really know what was going on, but the finish just caught my attention. I'm like, okay, I kind of like this. You have this evil boss. You have a good guy and a bad guy. This is like a film. Because what turned me into a lifelong fan was January 4th, 99, when Mankind became champion.
Yes.
People get confused. Like, no, 98 Survivor Series was my first ever time watching wrestling. It got me interested, but what got me hooked was January 4th, 99. But after the match, how The Rock reacts in a certain way, Rock's literally trying to deny it, like trying to act mad. Vince grabs the belt, gets in the ring with Shane. They all look at each other. Vince starts smiling, and then what do?
A huge hug.
They hug. And Jim Ross's reaction, absolutely priceless. They were in it all along. They screwed us all. And of course, Jerry Lawler's laughing his butt off because Jerry Lawler was, you know, the announcer that sided with the heels. So, I mean, Jerry Lawler too. When they hug, Jerry Lawler goes, "Whoa!" You see, Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross, such a fantastic dynamic duo in broadcasting. Jim Ross is the reason why I got into broadcast journalism. Jim Ross in this profession is my hero.
Jim Ross saved professional wrestling. Because once Gorilla Monsoon was offered to retire because of his illnesses and because of his ailments, they took Monsoon out. Bobby Heenan got fired and was on his way to WCW. So they gave us Vince. Not great, but not bad. Jim Ross, unfortunately, gets a bad knock because of what happened at WrestleMania WrestleMania 9, where he called it and it wasn't that great of a call. It was a bad card. But as he developed into an announcer, we got what we have. We got the Jim Ross that we have today. He was getting out of WCW and had transformed to WWF at the time. Not an easy transaction. The reverse isn't easy either. But at that particular time, Monsoon and Jesse would never have worked. So, JR and
Jesse Ventura was governor. Remember, Jesse Ventura was about to become governor.
Absolutely.
Of Minnesota.
Of Minnesota. So, Jim Ross and King were the perfect combination for the time. I mean, you can't. I can't imagine Jesse Ventura or any of the other or any other commentator at the time saying Lord Alfred Hayes or whatever, saying puppies, puppies, puppies. I can't picture that, and I can't picture Jim Ross screaming Austin 316. You know, it was the perfect combination for the time. They saved wrestling because wrestling, if you remember from 1993 to about 1996, was dying. And then we got Jim Ross in the Stone Cold situation. So, yeah, great combination. Really was. It really was.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm telling you, like, when Jim Ross reacted this certain way, I mean, as soon as my mom heard him say the word screw, well, at first I didn't understand what that word meant. I just remember hearing the adults turn around and say, who said that? But then again, the parents, they had been cursing in Arabic the whole time in front of us. I mean, I didn't understand the language, but the other two boys did. So I'm like, oh, then now you guys are mad at this, but you guys have been using foul language the whole entire time. but it's always, I mean, after that too. I mean, The Rock cuts a great promo. Last week I said The Rock would rather be the people's ass than to kiss Vince McMahon's butt, and then. Mr. McMahon cuts a great promo saying, the people screwed the people. And then praises his son, man. And then Mankind, you know, gets up and says, you know, what happened, you know, what's going on. And Vince McMahon literally says, Mankind, you just don't get it, do you? I never liked you. I used you. I mean, typical Mr. McMahon, billionaire boss, manipulation, heel stuff. They all did it together. And then Shane being the son of an evil boss, that means he's spoiled, he's corrupt as well. I mean, that's what started the corporation. And The Rock being the corporate champ.
Yep. It was an amazing, amazing run by the entire company. This was the storyline that fully destroyed WCW. Because it was something new. It was something brighter. It was something so interesting and so dark that you had to watch. And then when they incorporated The Undertaker and the Ministry, who I was a big fan of, by the way, I was a huge fan of the Ministry of Darkness because of what such a badass heel The Undertaker was at the time. He was so dark. That you had to follow his group. And look who was in the ministry. JBL, Farouk, Ron Simmons, Edge and Christian all Gangrel, Edge and Christian were all there. Many we don't talk about Mini and Viscera. But how many champions turned out of one group? How many? They knew we got to take these kids, have a mentor, The Undertaker. Great mentor. The other side, McMahon is mentoring his heels. And he's got the boss man, a well-seasoned veteran. Ken Shamrock is in there. You have all these monster heels. And it just was, it all clicked. It really did. And you're the commentators.
Yeah, even that test on the corporation, too.
Yes.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. So you had so many talented people involved in this from the ending of one pay-per-view. From the ending of one single pay-per-view, we had a monster, monster run. What screwed it up, though? Honestly, the higher power situation. That's what screwed that. That's what ended one of the best runs of all time. So, was this pay-per-view important? Yes. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I think after that, Shawn Michaels rejoined D-Generation X. Because remember, Shawn Michaels was the on-screen commissioner because of, you know, even though he could not wrestle because he had that bad back injury.
Cool.
I think he was still under contract, so they found – I mean, I'm glad they found something for him to do to fulfill his commitments. So DX, you know, when the corporation was formed, DX was getting more and more over as faces. So I think the corporation, not only to battle, you know, yeah, so the corporation to battle against DX, you know, feuded with Mankind, it was to just give us more than we wanted, but to keep it in a good way. It was basically like Christmas morning, more and more presents than we could ever imagine.
It was a buffet of storylines and an array of talent that you had such an array of talent. Such an array of storylines. Which one do you watch? The Hardys and the Edge of Christian were starting out at this time, and they were getting known already. So, where do you go? What do I want to watch?
The Attitude Era was reaching its peak.
It was.
The Attitude Era was reaching its peak. Yeah.
And what WWE does better than any other company is they give us a storyline, they ride it until right at the peak of when they know to the peak, and then when it slowly starts to go away, okay, we got to kill it. That was 98. Now, not so much. But back then, they knew exactly how to hold an audience right here. Palm of their hand. They really did. No other company has done it since. And probably no other company will.
And for, I mean, if only we could have another Attitude Era, but I think in 2024, well, because in today's society, everything's so offensive, everything's so racist, fascist, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah.
Things that happened in the Attitude Era, WWE would get in trouble all the time. I mean, case in point, remember Roddy Piper with the coconut, hitting Jimmy Snuka in the head with a coconut?
Imagine if
that happened today.
Back in the
Roddy
back those,
Piper
back
would be destroyed by the media. May he rest in peace.
Well, that was back in the 80s when he clocked Snuka. But
well, remember
you,
when Big Boss Man fed Al Snow his dog?
That was terrible.
Could you imagine if that happened today, if they did a storyline like that today?
I'll forget it.
I forget the animal. All the picketing. There'll be protesters. You know, the animal rights protesters would be like outside WWE headquarters. They'd probably be outside the arenas where the shows are going on.
As Paul Heyman said, throw me the hell off the air because I don't care.
Yeah.
You're talking about a company that at the time could do whatever the hell they wanted and did it.
I mean, another good example? You remember the Crucifixion of Sandman?
I remember it very, very well.
Imagine, okay, what would happen if it happened today?
Well, that's a whole different monster, but for those who don't know the background of it, Stevie Richards, Catholic. Blue Meanie, Catholic. Sandman, Christian. Run of the company, Paul Heyman, Jewish. Raven is also Jewish. And the reason why it was done was just to piss people off. Because they could get away with it. And Kurt Angle was in the building at the time, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So, I know the story.
With all these elements, Scott Levy, a.k.a. Raven, had to go out and apologize so they wouldn't get thrown off TV. That was going a bit too far. But McMahon did the same thing with Stephanie.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody bats an eye about that.
Okay, I'll be honest with you.
They did the same thing.
The crucifixion, as a Christian, see, as a Christian, no, I'm not offended by the Sandman crucifixion because I understand why they did it. It's ECW, understanding the Raven character and his flock, the storyline with the Sandman and everything. It makes sense. Is it something I would recommend? Probably not, but you know what? You got to take it to great lengths. And Raven being the big heel that he was, while he was trying to piss people off, I still refuse to accept the fact he was trying to insult somebody else's religion. He was doing fantastic heel work. So I'll say this. Raven had nothing to apologize for. And you know who built that? And you know, because Sandman worked as a carpenter, I think Sandman's the one who built that particular cross that they use. And yeah, so
he was.
Yeah. But
Paul Heyman claims he didn't know anything about it, which we all know is a lie. A lot of people thought he said it was a lie. They said they know about particular, but apparently we'll never know.
But
you couldn't get away with that. We couldn't get away with it now. The screw job, you couldn't get away with either. Also, the Rock screwing Mac at the end of this match, you couldn't get away with it either today. So many things that we had back then, we can't do now. So
no, it's that too.
Do I think it was a bad match? Yes. Do I think that pissed people off? Yes. Was it the right decision at the time? Yes. This decision has stood the test of time because of what happened to the two characters. It really did.
But man, the ultimate sword when The Rock embraced and Vince and Shane embraced like that. Man, it wasn't just the reaction of the commentary team, it was the reaction of the crowd.
No,
they were mad. And then,
they were mad, they were confused.
And then after Mr. McMahon tells Mankind this, The Rock sneak attacks him, hits Mankind in the back of the head with a belt, starts beating him down, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, you know, beats down The Rock, you know, Vince and Shane away, and then stuns Mankind. That's so cool. Even Stone Cold just doesn't care and doesn't like anybody.
DTA, don't trust anybody. But that's a whole different ballgame.
Don't trust Austin. Yeah.
No, we don't trust anybody.
No.
But the tournament itself wasn't that great of a tournament. Honestly, I thought this tournament was stupid. They let somebody back in twice. The pay-per-view itself was just god awful. Was not a very good year pay-per-view wise for WWE, except for WrestleMania and King of the Ring and Wrestling World were probably trash. But the simple fact is, you started The Rock down a journey that not even Vince could have seen how it ended. So that's what makes wrestling great.
Definitely. And it's interesting, in the tournament, The Undertaker and Kane were actually part of the tournament. Undertaker won in the quarterfinals.
I remember.
Yeah,
I remember.
And then Undertaker lost by disqualification.
There were too many disqualifications in this tournament.
Okay, actually, no. It says Mankind beat Stone Cold, but it doesn't mention disqualification or countout. So I don't know.
I don't know how
Mankind beat Stone Cold. I don't remember. But
I remember either.
Yeah, but you know, the match. Okay, itself. I think the match. I mean. Match, okay, not the best, but you know what? I think the finish and what happened after the match, that's what saved it.
The finish and what happened after the match was the reason why WWF won the Monday Night War.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could swerve you in a way that was not possible in any other company. Owen Hart, may he rest in peace, was still around. So he was wrestling harder than ever.
Mm-hmm. And then when Mankind became champion, that was it. I think WCW fans were pissed off at the time because when Goldberg lost the belt to Kevin Nash that ended the streak, WCW fans were not happy about it.
All right.
And then, when they decide to leak the results that Mankind's going to become champion, I mean, hey, over 600,000 people, if I'm correct, over 600,000 people changed the channel.
Yep. I remember the night that Goldberg lost to Kevin Nash. And I said to my friend, this is going to be the death of WCW. He told me it was
finger
crazy.
Poke of doom. Finger poke of doom.
The finger poke of doom was the autopsy. Goldberg loses to Nash was the death. You flipped on WWF at the time, you didn't have this problem. Then the whole thing with Tony Schiavone making that terrible mistake and saying that we understand that man, that Cactus Jack, at the time, who at one time wrestled here, is going to win the world title. Yeah, it's going to put some butts in the seats. Everybody switched channels. Mm-hmm. That order came directly from Bischoff because Bischoff took a bad gamble. So, again, all these things happened to fall into place for Vince and killed the other guy.
Yeah. Not only were asses put in the seats, eyeballs were glued to the TV screens.
Absolutely. Every Monday night you
week,
had to...
That following Raw is War, the week after Mankind won the title, there were fans with signs in the audience that said, Mankind or Mick Foley put my butt in the seat.
Mm-hmm. Or Foley.
Mick Foley, Mankind, not only put my eyeballs on the TV screen, Mankind winning that title, Mankind, Mick Foley made me a lifelong wrestling fan. Mick Foley gave me an escape through what the hell I was going through as a kid, whether it was at home, whether it was at school. Mankind and all these other guys, they gave me a big escape, and I am grateful.
I was a big fan of Mankind.
But as a five-year-old kid, I didn't really understand. I mean, I thought it was all real. So when I saw this guy, ring the bell, all that, I was like, I didn't even know what was going on.
I thought it was
real because I noticed that my friend was mad about it.
Oh, yeah. You're 5 years old, you watch this, you go, my God.
He was pretty pissed.
Oh, my God, he's getting beat up. But when you're older, you know what this is. You know what it's all about. It's just a showman. I was a fan of Mankind before it became WCW. Because I remember Cactus coming to WWE. Because I remember Cactus Jack in WCW. I remember the greatest thing he ever had, was Havoc 94. It was a tag match. It was a phenomenal match. So I remember him in WCW. But WCW told him that he'll never be a main eventer. So he walked over to WWE. We all know what happened on July 4th. So Rock did get his revenge. Did get his revenge eventually. So we had the ending that we had.
We had the ending that we had, and I think that we've covered everything.
I think
so.
So,
Mark, anything you want to say before we close it out?
I want to wish everybody a good summer. Well. Obviously, I'm glad that we're back, Alex. We were on a very long hiatus because we figured what the hell to do. I want to thank everybody for watching, obviously. So have yourselves a good summer. Be safe. Plenty of sunblock, plenty of water, guys. Gator and water does help. So, and sunglasses.
And water.
Yes. Gatorade, water, sunglasses, sunscreen. And that's coming from a guy who spent a lot of time being sunburned.
Yeah, I know, me too. But also, you can find this show wherever you get your podcasts. So hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, so Mark and I know for sure that you're not going to be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have friends and family that love professional wrestling, then you got to get them to subscribe to Ringside Chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all have a good one and enjoy your start to the summer.
Absolutely.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.